Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Laura Drake's music career began at the age of 12, when she started entering singing contests and winning them. Since then, she's gone on to open shows for artists such as Brad Paisley, Diamond Rio, and Emerson Drive. Her sound reflects her musical influences from the present and the past. From Thompson Station, Tennessee, it's my pleasure to welcome Laura Drake to the show. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
So this all goes back to the age of 12. Now, what got you into singing at that young age and then entering contests?
Well, it was kind of an accident, actually. I was dabbling in sports and things like that, like every kid does, and I was doing cheerleading at the time, and they lost the tape for the national anthem. So
Right. They
said, all right, girls, everybody get together, and I need everybody to sing a little snippet of it real quick. And so we all did, and they picked me to go ahead and sing the national anthem for the game. So they had to write the words down for me real quick because I had never done it before, and I went and did it, and it was so much fun, and my mom and dad were down there crying, going, oh my gosh, we didn't know that she could do this. So it kind of just all snowballed from there. I just found something that I was good at and that I absolutely just loved, and started entering contests and moving up and realizing that by doing that, I was winning really cool prizes, like getting to open for David Lee Murphy and things like that, Emerson Drive. A couple of those came from winning contests. So that was how I got into that. And then I figured, you know, I might be able to actually do something with this. So
Isn't that great? How it all began.
What a way
to start. So at that age of 12, the feedback you got from your parents and other people who were hearing this, it was obviously favorable reviews.
Absolutely, and I can honestly say that I would not have even attempted to do half of the things that I did, especially at that age, had it not been for my parents realizing that this was actually something that, you know, that I could do, I could make a go of. And so many people have to kind of convince their parents and their families that, you know, this is something they want to do, they've got the passion and the drive to make a career of it, but I have been very fortunate to not have to convince anybody. They've all been right behind me from the beginning, so that has helped a lot.
Oh, that would make a big difference for sure.
Yeah,
and what kind of music were you singing in your teenage years, Laura? Was it country from the start?
It really was. It was, and you know, at that age, country is maybe not the coolest music, or at least when
right.
I was that age, it wasn't. But it's what I grew up on. It's what I always loved, and that's just kind of what I knew. So I really never even sought any further to try to do any other kind of genres. I mean, here and there, you know, things would come up where I may do some things outside of country music. But that was the majority of it. That's really what just my passion is. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I grew up similarly as far as listening to country music, and it certainly wasn't when I was growing up necessarily the popular thing at people at that
exactly.
age. But yeah, I was into Alabama and Kenny Rogers and Restless Heart and all the, you know, talking about the 80s and so forth. But in your case, with your peers, people your own age, did you have to convince them to like it, or did they kind of end up liking it if they, say, didn't initially?
Oh, I would say a little bit of both. I mean, early on, you know, I was country when country wasn't cool, I guess you could say. But after
right.
that, you know, it kind of became more popular and more accepted, so I didn't have to work so hard for it. But, you know, even early on, though, all my friends going through school and everything were always just so supportive of what I did. It just was kind of, you know, every kid kind of has their thing that they grow into, and that was mine. So they were all very supportive of it no matter what I did.
Oh, that's great. And who are some of your favorite artists from the past and even today? Who are some of the ones you really enjoy listening to?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard. That's probably the hardest question that I could be asked.
There's so many, right?
Yes, I know. It seems like it'd be an easy question. You know, I have always had kind of a soft spot for the artists that were big in the 90s, kind of that Randy Travis, Tracy Lawrence era. That stuff has always been my favorite. I absolutely love anything that came out of 90s country. So I would say, even though I have so many favorites that are older and newer than that, that's probably my favorite kind of country.
Yeah, we all seem to have an era that we kind of look back on, and maybe it was the time we were growing up or just something caught our, and that's sort of what we kind of, I guess, stays in our heart, basically.
Right. It may be more of an association thing, who knows, but yeah, that's just what I have always loved. I still, to this day, just would rather, I'd rather listen to old Randy Travis than even listening to the top 40 stuff that's popular right now. But I listen to all of it, and I sing all of it. So,
do you have any favorite artists that you cover? Is there sort of one artist that you cover more than another, or favorite songs?
Well, it usually depends on the venue, you know, what kind of show I'm doing to kind of target the right audience. But I'd say as far as just my choice, I do a lot of Martina McBride when I'm doing cover material. She seems to be somebody that I've always really enjoyed and covered pretty well. But other than that, I just try to do a little mix of everything, because it seems any show that you're doing, there's such a variety in the audience that a lot of them want to hear that newer stuff. A lot of them want to hear the really old stuff. So oddly enough, it usually isn't about what I want to cover, you know, what
right.
I want to sing. It's really more important to do what I know other people want to hear. So I just try to mix it up and do everything from Stand By Your Man in Folsom Prison to, Carrie Underwood. So
covering all the and everything in between. Now, do you find that, I know at a lot of country concerts, and it seems with country more than other genres, that you really get a range of ages. You can have the young kids right up to the grandparents. Is that how you find at your shows?
Usually, yes. There are some venues around Nashville where they may not be quite as family friendly, but
right.
But typically, yes, I see a pretty wide range of ages. And you know, it's so much fun with the younger kids who may not even really know what the music is that you're singing, but they always just seem to be so mesmerized by people performing, you know, whether
right.
you're good or bad, they like you. So
yeah, they look up to you.
Exactly. So
yeah.
They just sit there kind of with stars in their eyes, because to them, you know, no matter what you're doing, it's cool and it's neat. So that's always a lot of fun. But then it's always fun, too, to have some of the older folks come up and say, oh, my gosh, I haven't heard anybody cover that Patsy Cline song or that George Jones song in a long time, and they really get into that stuff. So
it's great that you cover the classics, because, there's a lot of times people will cover rock and roll songs in the country field, but there's so many country classics you can do that just sound as good as ever.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's always one of those that you throw into a set and somebody just pulls out a memory of it or comes and tells you a story of, you know, around here in Nashville, a lot of times they'll come and say, you know, I remember there was a time that I went and saw Tammy Wynette performing this at the Ryman, and I got to meet her after, you know, and who knows. They're telling you some kind of story about her or something like that. And I've gotten to hear a lot of old Patsy Cline stories, because I actually used to do a lot of shows around the Winchester, Virginia area, so that's where Patsy Cline originated from, so people would tell me all kinds of Patsy Cline stories, and it definitely, it makes for good conversation, if nothing else.
And that's definitely another thing about country fans. It seems there's a lot of stories that they want to tell and share with you, and of course the performer yourself shares your songs and stories, so it seems to be sort of a real sharing genre.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and and the most accepting genre, you know, the most accepting audience of any genre I think that you'll ever find. They will go with you and be true fans kind of no matter what. So it is very nice.
That's great. Now let's talk about your songwriting. We're going to play a song right now, Dodging Bullets, that you wrote. Do you want to specifically, we'll talk more about your songwriting in general, but specifically on this song, and then I'll share it with our listeners, Laura.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this song was kind of in a period where country music was kind of getting a little more rockin', you know, just in the last couple of years. And things started getting a little more, more towards, I guess, the rock edge.
Sure.
But, and as much as I have such strong country roots and I love old country music, it was just kind of something I was feeling at the time. It was kind of too cool not to go with. So I wanted to do something that would hit you hard like that. And I took, you know, a little bit of experiences from past and from, you know, people that I've known and things like that and put it into this song. And it sounds more violent than I actually am, Dave. So,
so
don't
won't
read
leave.
Too much into it.
Yeah, we won't read too much into it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's great. This is Laura Drake and Dodging Bullets on In the Country.
You'll be dodging bullets.
That is Laura Drake and Dodging Bullets. You can find her at myspace.com/LauraDrakeMusic, as well as lauradrake.com. Laura, that is a very cool song. I love the vibe and the feel to that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun recording. It was a lot of fun writing and recording. So,
definitely, and yeah, it's got that attitude in there, which you sort of warned us before that, or let us know it's not anything we should believe.
Absolutely, you know, it's you know, more than the actual lyrics of the song, it's just a way to kind of get your style across, I guess,
yeah.
Or get my style across. And you know, I was playing them for a friend of mine at BMI, and he listened to a couple that I had recorded by some other artists, or some other songwriters rather, and you know, he said, yeah, those are good, but then I played in this one, and he said, you know, this is just you. He said, this sounds like you. So it's
right.
It just kind of gets that little bit of, like you said, attitude across that,
yeah.
Kind of expresses your style a little bit.
Yep, definitely. It's a fun song, and it's just, it stands out because it's very original, which is great.
Thank you.
Now, so you moved to Nashville at 19. Was there any fear or uncertainty at that point, or were you convinced that that was where you needed to be?
You know, I really wasn't afraid of it. I was very excited by it, and I guess I tried to not think so much about the, you know, what ifs and what if nots. I really just felt like that was where I was supposed to be at the time, and this is just something that I needed to do, and it was different. And you know, for somebody whose family just kind of all stays in the same area together and doesn't really stray too far outside of home, it was definitely different. It was very hard for me to leave my family and my friends, who, you know, like I said, everybody kind of sticks around where we grew up. But
right. But
I never for one second have ever in the past handful of years, I've just never doubted it. I've never thought maybe I shouldn't have done it. I never felt like, did I make the right decision? There just has never been a question since the day that I got here, no matter how difficult or how much I missed everybody or how much I missed home, there's just never been a question of whether or not it was the right move, because no matter what happens from here, it was the right move for me. It was exactly what I needed to do.
And it sounds like it was an important step. So for you, it's the place to be to get your music made and to, I guess, get attention for it.
Right, absolutely. You know, I mean, they say you can't catch fish if you're not at the pond. So,
right. It's
kind of the best way to go about it, and it's hard going from being kind of a big fish in a little pond down to a place where you're just a dime a dozen, you feel like. But nonetheless, it's just all part of it. It's just what you got to do, and I've never regretted it.
That is awesome. Now, your songwriting, we heard one of your songs a moment ago, and when did that first start? Did that start in your teens as well with the songwriting?
It did. I've always felt that writing was something that helped me, you know, express my thoughts. I've always felt that I was pretty good at it, and so I've written pretty much since I started singing. However, I didn't ever share it with anybody. I never really wanted to go out on that limb and make myself vulnerable enough for somebody to go, what in the world are you thinking? So I really just kind of kept it, you know, in a little book, never really discussed it with anybody or anything like that. But then once I wrote this, I thought, you know, I feel confident about this. I feel like Dodging Bullets is something that I can proudly say was all mine, and try to move forward with. And so this was actually the first song that I have ever recorded and taken to the public that I have actually written. So, okay.
So you have other songs now that you've recorded, but you haven't shared with others at the moment?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of recording right now and a lot of writing as well. So during the holiday season, I've kind of stepped back from performing and tried to focus in on some writing so that I can get some new stuff released at the beginning of the year. And that's kind of the goal right now. So.
And are you working towards a CD? Do you have a CD out now, or this is what you're working towards?
That is what I'm working towards. Yes,
I've been
cutting everything song by song. And the last CD that I did was primarily Walt Aldridge originals. And this time around, I want them to primarily be Laura Drake originals. So not that Walt is not an absolutely fantastic writer, and I'm proud
sure.
about anything of his, but it's just kind of a next step for me to be able to take ownership of the things that I'm proud of. So.
Sure, and it makes a difference, I know, to a listener when they know that the artist wrote it. It just feels like they're sort of getting a glimpse into their life,
exactly.
and that just adds to it for sure.
It sure does. It really does. And there is something to be said about your style and your emotions coming out a little more strong when it is something that you've written, because it's something that you will always kind of relate a little bit better to. So.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Now, you mentioned it's a vulnerable experience, writing, of course, and co-writing, too. Is that something you do, or are you mainly doing when you're writing it's by yourself?
I do both. I do. We actually, I'm part of a group who, as I mentioned, Walt Aldridge, who is a huge number one songwriter here in Nashville.
Yeah.
He's been around for years doing writing number ones, as old as Ronnie Millsap, There's No Getting Over Me, up to up to Heartland. I loved her first. Which was, just released, I guess a little over a year ago, or mm-hmm. 2 years ago, maybe. But anyway, he definitely is good at what he does, to say the least. And I was fortunate enough to make his acquaintance, and we kind of became friends after I called him, and I said, okay, you don't know me, but I need some advice. I need to pick your brain. So can we meet for a cup of coffee and just, let me pick your brain. Let me see what you think. You know, give me some advice, because if anybody's got it to give, he does.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that and developed a friendship, and he's just great. He ended up putting a group of us together that started with about six of us. It was all of his or a couple of his close friends who were either aspiring songwriters or singers. And he said, you know, I've got to do something to be able to get this group of people together that I really believe in. He believed that we had the drive and we had the talent to do what we sought out to do. So he put us all together, and he said, I don't know what is going to come of this, but there's power in numbers and something will come of it. And we all get together and meet and kind of have a little powwow session of how things are going in everybody's careers, talking about things that we can do, writer's rounds that we can set up. We usually end up doing a writer's round, all of us together, at least once a month around town. And right now we're actually putting together a benefit that we're going to be doing in December that we're doing for a family here in Nashville. So we really are just trying to cover some ground. It's kind of like a music mafia type deal where you know, if you put that many heads together, something good's going to come out of it. So,
sure. And there's strength in numbers, and, you know, you're going to learn from this person, and they'll learn from you. Now, speaking of Walt, we've got one of the songs that he's written that you recorded, a great song and a great hook to it, called Middleman. Do you want to tell us sort of what drew you to the song, and Laura, and then I'll share it with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I cut a handful of songs that Walt has done, and that one, really, more than anything else, it just jumped out at me more for the fact that it's one of those songs that gets stuck in your head.
Right.
So, you know, it was one of those that I thought, well, gosh, if this is getting stuck in my head and I find myself humming along to it all day, then probably would be safe to assume that it would do the same to other people. And it's funny because it actually has become the favorite of people that have listened to the songs that I cut on that same album. So it was chosen by one of the local radio stations here to play on the Locals Only show, and it has seemed to be a favorite. So I everybody will like that.
Awesome. Yeah, let's check that out now. This is Middleman, written by Walt Aldridge and sung here by Laura Drake on In the Country.
Girl number four says I've had it with these extremes.
Laura Drake here on In the Country with Middleman. You can check Laura out at myspace.com/LauraDrakeMusic, as well as LauraDrake.com, a great song written by the great songwriter Walt Aldridge. I actually got the chance to meet him, Laura, at an NSAI meeting down in Toronto earlier this year, which was great, great to hear him talk about his music.
Yeah, oh, that's so funny. It's a small world.
It is a small world.
He is he's one of a kind. He's just as great a songwriter he is, he's that good of a person. He's really got a big heart, and he's tried his very best to help out some of his friends that are aspiring to do what he's done.
Isn't that great? And the more he gives back, obviously, the more it comes around. It's such a great community, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. Yeah. It definitely does.
So what's ahead for Laura Drake in 2010? What are some of your goals and things you want to achieve?
Well, I definitely, at the beginning of the year, I want to be able to release a new album with some more original material on it. If not solely original, I'd like for the majority of it to be, because that'll be a big accomplishment for me. I've never been able to, release an album that is, all Laura Drake originals or primarily. So that's going to be the biggest thing for me moving forward. Some of the other things that I'd like to do involve the group that I was talking about that Walt developed, which is we are doing our first benefit, like I mentioned, in December. And we're really trying to keep brainstorming and think of things along that line that will be allow us to give back to Nashville and to the community. But, also at the same time, hopefully raising a little bit of awareness about what we are all about. So we're really looking forward to doing some bigger things like that. Other than that, we'll just have to see what comes along. I'm open to anything. So.
Awesome. Well, Laura, it's been a pleasure talking with you and hearing your music. I love your voice, and it's been, like I say, a pleasure speaking with you today.
You too. Thank you so much, and I'd love to come back anytime you'll have me.
Awesome. I would love that. We'll definitely do that again. My guest today has been singer-songwriter Laura Drake. Be sure to check her out at myspace.com/LauraDrakeMusic, as well as LauraDrake.com. I'm Dave Woods. Thanks for spending time in the country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country,